Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Black Hawk number 229, cover date February 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artists Dick Dillon and Chuck Quidera, edited by George Kashtan, featuring The Junk Heap Heroes, written by Bob Haney, art by Dick Dillon and Chuck Quidera. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go.
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away.
And now is so much fun. What?
After his team fails a test for the government, Black Hawk asks for another chance. His request is granted, so the team returns to Black Hawk Island to train. Meanwhile, agents of an international spy organization led by the Emperor target the Black Hawks. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
And now, heroine of history. Emilia Plotter was born in 1806 in Poland, the daughter of Count Saveri and Countess Anna Plotter. At the time of her birth, Poland's neighbor Russia was under the control of the Tsars and looked with longing eyes at little Poland. Emilia received a well-rounded education, but she was happiest when she rode a horse and fenced. She read everything she could about her idol, Joan of Arc. Taking long walks in the forests of Poland, she dreamed of following in her footsteps. The young Polish girl was to get her chance sooner than she dreamed. Russia was bent on conquest, and in 1830, the Russian armies marched into Poland. At the gallop, Emilia rode to nearby Dziatki. At the head of her recruited regiment, Emilia Plotter joined the battles against the Tsar's army. For her outstanding daring, as she led her men against the Russian hordes, Emilia was made a lieutenant in the field. Then followed swiftly the ranks of captain and full colonel. But despite her own individual bravery, Emilia was to see Poland buckle and fall before the Russian might. Her health broken, she died in December 1831 in her 25th year. For her flaming patriotism, for the unselfish gallantry in which she put her country before her own interests, for her daring and bravery in the flame of battle, Emilia Plotter joins the honor roll of Heroine of History.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to sleep in late.
Is it? Because I didn't. I had to get up for work.
Oh, poor you.
I know.
I woke up just barely before noon.
What are you like?
Oh, that's good coffee. Why are we both recording this?
Well, we were participating in our international performance career, so we were out on the other coast, Montana.
The coast of Montana, yes.
Just got back at 2 a.m. this morning.
Yes, we did. And it was a quite a travel day. Though quite pleasant.
Yes, lovely.
I did sleep for most of that first flight.
Okay.
From Bozeman to Minnesota. Minneapolis. No. Minneapolis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Minneapolis, yeah. When I love that airport so much.
Oh, it's a great airport.
Oh, it's great.
Well, that first flight, I was in the middle seat, as you know, between you and a business gentleman who smelled like sour laundry, which is my least favorite smell in the whole kind world.
It is, indeed.
That's why I always dry my laundry on high heat for an hour and a half, no matter how many items are in or what color they are.
That's not true, but you do make sure, we do make sure that the laundry is properly dried.
Yes.
With the exception of things that have to
line dry, like right. My price... costly shirts that I
left. Right, and
wear.
I always put them on a drying rack or hang them on a hanger and put them under the ceiling fan on high. Or yes.
You're so good to me.
I am. So anyway, we had a lovely, lovely, lovely trip.
It was sure.
basically a long weekend. We flew out on a Thursday and back on a Monday, right?
That's the way we do it in the entertainment biz.
Yeah, and God, it was a great trip. I haven't been out to Montana with you in a long time.
I know.
Was it pre-COVID?
Probably.
Yeah. So we've continued to go back and forth to sing in Montana, but separately.
Yes, they always want both of us, but we're so busy, usually only one of us can go.
Mm. So we happened to go together this time. We made it work, and God, was it fun. We didn't fill our days with adventure like we normally do. Like normally we usually do some sort of hike or we climb up Mount Helena or something like that. But this time it was like, okay, I think I'll sleep 10 hours tonight, and I think I'll sleep 10 hours, and I think I'll... You know, we did walk around a little bit and, and had lunch at our favorite place, Taco del Sol.
Yes.
And dinner at Benny's. Yes. And our dear friends played live music, their Irish group, Irish session group. And then we had great rehearsals and a wonderful concert. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I got to sing a duet with you.
But enough about you. What about me?
Did you enjoy yourself?
Sure.
Good. We had a good time, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, and we also got to go out for a couple beers at our favorite brewery there.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. So there you go. And I had a lovely trip back, and we got home late, and it's because I'm on sabbatical. I got to sleep in much later than you.
And because I'm not, I have a real job. I had to get up and go to work.
I also have a real job. That's why.
Well, but you're just getting paid to sit at home.
And
study.
Study. Hello, thank
what
you.
What a dream.
I know, right? All right.
Well, thank goodness we're not Blackhawks, because... We'd be out on the street.
Oh, my gosh. This is a very drama-filled episode.
I should say so.
Chock-a-block full of tension.
As you recall, last issue, the Blackhawks were declared washed up by the superhero community, even though the Blackhawks are not technically superheroes. And they were forced into retirement, but Blackhawk said, no, let us prove ourselves. And they failed.
They did, miserably.
The secret organization George, which apparently is overseeing all things in the military-industrial complex, preyed on the Blackhawks' secret weaknesses and defeated them all.
Yeah.
So they were shamed into retirement.
Shame.
But Blackhawk said, no. Your robot creep clobbered us, Mr. Delta. Mr. Delta's in charge of George. And Blackhawk asks for a recess, a postponement, to see if the Blackhawks can come back.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Delta has to go up the chain of command to see if it's even possible.
And if I remember, we're not going to do it this morning, but when you would speak for Mr. Delta, you would put your hand over your face because he was speaking through a mask.
Yes, because he's wearing a piece of gauze over his... T-zone.
It's T-zone.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. And so they're in the basement of the Pentagon, I guess. This is Blackhawk number 229, if you're following along. Blackhawks have been defeated by a giant robot wearing a pith helmet and a trench coat. And above ground, we have Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, and the Flash, and Lyndon B. Johnson. Watching the proceedings on closed monitor television screen.
Okay, so are you looking at the previous issue or are you in this issue?
I'm in this issue on the splash page.
Okay.
Right. The second amazing chapter of the saga that made the comics history, the Junk Heap Heroes.
Yeah.
Now we'll find out whether this is truly the end of the Magnificent Seven or the beginning of a new, different, utterly fantastic Black Hawk Age.
But will we?
Well, we won't in this issue.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a continuing story.
Oh, okay. Well,
what's wrong?
Well, it's just that they're really drawing this out for... apparently, if they're trying to get Black Hawk fans re-engaged, they're certainly taking an awkward approach to it, says the kid who always got in trouble for talking during class.
Now, Green Lantern asserts that the Blackhawks always have done great service fighting our country's enemies. And Flash says, yes, but only Blackhawk is still fighting, and the other dunderheads... there's only a few minutes left in the test.
Superman says, well, we must remember the Black Hawks are not superheroes, just brave men who never say die.
I'll second that, Superman, says Batman.
Well, we all know that's how he talks from the 1960s.
Yes, I'm no super character myself. Ha! Ha! He admits it.
He does. He does. He has no super strengths, no superpowers. Yes, I have learned my lesson. No, wait a second.
What?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've always contended that there must be something exceptional about Batman.
Yes.
And you said, no, he's an ordinary man who just happens to be very physically fit.
He's ripped, no doubt.
And he's extremely clever.
Yes, he's the world's greatest detective.
And without fear.
No, that's except Green Lantern. Bats. That's Green Lantern.
No, Batman's crazy. Like, does he have fears?
Everyone has fears except Green Lantern.
Oh, okay.
All these guys have to offer is heart, guts, and brains. The day that isn't enough, then America, indeed the world, are in big trouble.
Mm. Now, fingers tap. The most important fingers in the world.
LBJ, of course.
Most important fingers,
most important fingers in the world. What?
I just love it. This is so funny.
Oh, now... LBJ's lonely job is to reach a decision, and a few moments later, Mr. Delta receives a call down in the basement.
Uh-oh, it's Mr. Delta.
Postponement has been granted. Mr. Delta would have washed out you washed-up jokers, but you seem to have some awful big friends, quote-unquote, upstairs, or literally upstairs, because they're in the basement of the Pentagon.
Why are they in the basement of the Pentagon?
Because that's
Pentagon?
Where the training...
Okay.
Corral is.
And the tap-tap is not at the Pentagon. It's at the White House.
Well, I don't know. They might be at the Pentagon.
What's LBJ doing at the Pentagon?
He's the president of the United States. He can go anywhere he wants
to. Of course he can, but he's not going to be there just because Black Hawks are being tested.
Now we have a nice scene of Flash, Batman, Superman, and Green Lantern reenacting the opening credits of the Monkees television show so popular in the 1960s.
I must take issue with how this is drawn.
Why?
Flash looks fine, but then we get to Superman, Batman, and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And it's as if they have been shrunk down somehow. Actually, it's really Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
They look as if they've been squished to fit into the frame.
Because they have, and they're doing the Monkees. Here we come.
And their heads are slightly a kilter.
I wonder if Dick Dillon just photostatted the same figure four times and drew different costume on.
It does look strange.
They are walking across the National Mall.
Mm-hmm.
With the Washington Monument in the background.
Which we've done before.
Sure.
But not like that.
Not
in
the
costume.
Monkeys.
No.
I wish that Green Lantern wouldn't take one of those funny photos. Like he's trying to hold up the Washington Monument or put his finger on top of it or something. That sure would be comical.
Mm.
Can the Blackhawks come back, Rob? And compete with today's superheroes against today's supervillains?
I would say... You're about to find out. These guys are about to learn some tough lessons.
I'll say, sometime later on Black Hawk Island, a very special... a very special kind of basic retraining begins.
So I have to ask you before we get into this, because we've got some wonderful, fantastic panels coming up, especially if you like cynical things like I do.
Yeah.
What is this ant thing?
It's a giant ant robot.
Okay, was it in the last issue?
Not that I can recall.
I didn't recall it either. And it seems to have some sort of claw arms.
Yes, it's got
little pincer arms.
Yes.
Okay. I just thought maybe this was another member of the Blackhawks. a new member.
Could be. Stay tuned.
A robot ant.
Hendrickson is pretending to lure some criminals out of their hiding place with his machine gun. Mm-hmm. He shouts, okay, you guys in there, drop der guns and come on out. As you recall, listener, the Blackhawks come from different European countries and they each have distinctive speech patterns based on their country of origin. Hendrickson is German or Dutch or something.
I was very offended.
Why?
By this. Just what's about to happen. So he gets smacked. He gets his machine gun smacked out of his hands, but, like Joan Crawford in one of her classic movies.
To be clear, the smacking comes from a
giant robot.
But it's the giant ant robot holding a pool cue.
Oh.
And the pool cue is what knocks the gun out of Hendrickson's hand.
So he's like a professor.
Yeah.
Yes, like a professor smacking the back of a child's hand with a ruler, but this time it's a pool cue by a giant robotic ant.
And Blackhawk shouts, "No, you clown, not der guns, the guns. Modern agents don't give themselves away with accents. Each time you make a mistake like that, Oscar, my mechanical teacher here," the giant ant robot, "gives you a crack across the knuckles until you get it right."
poor Hendrickson. Hendrickson, right?
Hendrickson, yeah.
Hendrickson. He just sits there with his head down. "Yes, chief."
Next up is Olaf, the big Swede, who's being faced with a dummy who's wearing a giant placard that says enemy agent. Just like actual enemy agents do in real life.
And then Olaf decides to put on a little show.
Yeah.
Right? So as the ace acrobat goes into whirling action, he's just... I don't know why he just doesn't punch the enemy agent. Instead, he's trying to confuse him. I mean, I do know why, because he's thinking this. He's doing a whirling dervish. Okay, so I'm not an acrobat, but right. I have seen acrobats. They do expend a lot of energy doing what Olaf is doing right now.
Yeah.
This spinning around and twirling and whirling around.
Oh, he's doing cartwheels.
Yeah, like, and all the person has to do, the enemy agent, is like extend the foot out a little bit and catch Olaf's hand, and Olaf is down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all he has to do. It's the silliest. Why would you... Look, it'd be like me, like... early in the morning and you want to get to the coffee maker and I don't want you to get to the coffee maker, so I just run around you in circles.
So like every morning. Except this morning because I got up before you.
Well, most mornings I do, as soon as I hear you stirring, because I usually get up a little bit before you, except not lately, but I get up before you. I do, if I hear you stirring and coming down the stairs, I must move into action because even though I was comfortable and let's say reading the newspaper or something online, if I know you're coming, I need to get up from where I am, get into the kitchen, and get into your way.
Yes.
It's one of the spousal contracts that we have.
Well, that's right? What marriage is always having someone standing in the exact place in the kitchen that you need to be.
Yes.
We forgot to mention that the enemy agent dummy is on a wheeled cart on tracks.
It's literally, even though it's on a cart on tracks, it's literally still. It's in place. And Olaf is just doing...
Yeah, until he gets ready to punch it, and then it moves. Yimini.
Yeah.
Yimini, he moved. Well, Olaf's going to get a crack with that ant pool cue. Two cracks.
For telegraphing his attack with the cartwheel gimmick.
And another for that Yimini. Blackhawk is not putting up with these cultural speech patterns.
No, he's becoming a nationalist.
No.
Oh, he's becoming a
America first, buddy. Yeah.
Bastard.
All right, Oscar.
Oh, here we go. Ant. Chop, chop.
Let's move on to the next pupil. Chop, chop, using his karate to break a wooden board. Classic karate move. Now let's see you take that brick wall apart.
Good God.
It's a cinch because karate is the science of speed and precision over solid matter. Just like this, daddy-o, kahwham.
But then he gets smacked with the pool cue.
Because Oscar the ant robot was waiting on the other side of the wall. So Chop Chop gets a smack for not anticipating a giant ant robot waiting on the other side of the wall. Even though he did use modern American slang, so he should get house points for that.
Oh, yes, house points. Good. House points to Chop Chop.
Next up, Stanislaus. He's Polish. Stanislaus is ordered to push a button on a panel of buttons labeled A through F.
And out comes a claw arm that grabs him.
So it's like an automat that he's...
Of doom. Yes. It's not like, well, you don't press a button and get a cup of coffee and another one and get a piece of pie.
Nope. You get a claw arm.
Yeah.
Terrific tussle ensues between Stanislaus and the claw arm. Stanislaus finds he can easily bend the claw arm into a nice baby pretzel, but as Stanislaus's great strength starts taking its toll on his steel foe, a butterfly coming out of the little automat door.
Yeah, and it lands on his shoulder.
Lands on his shoulder. The claw arm is broken.
Stanislaus thinks he has won something.
Yes.
Like a little prize.
But nope, he gets a whack on the knuckles.
Because the mechanical bug.
It means you goofed, you big Polish baboon.
The butterfly isn't real. It's a mechanical bug with a stinger that can be loaded with a deadly poison. It was empty for the test, otherwise he'd be dead by now.
Phew. Well, isn't that just like a big Polish baboon to not realize a butterfly is a mechanical insect?
Oh, God. I mean, Black Hawk is serious. Because this is truly, I mean, not to excuse Black Hawk's comments, which are completely insensitive and inappropriate. But this is, the stakes are pretty high here. This is the end of the Black Hawk team.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Now, you're not allowed to make even one mistake, fellas. Nothing's impossible when you're facing modern enemies. You've got to pay attention to everything, suspect every occurrence, trust no one. All right, next up, Chuck, who's American. Nothing's going to go wrong here, I bet.
No.
Chuck is informed that the window he's standing in front of is booby-trapped, which is going to be a snap for an electronics expert like Chuck. He's just going to run his own pocket-sized handy-dandy mine detector along the windowsill until he finds, aha, I found it, the explosive. And I'm going to remove it very carefully like this.
And then he gets a face full of explosives.
Yes.
Which I'm surprised doesn't do any damage. It looks like you could rip his skin off.
Well, it's probably talcum powder or something.
It would be awful if, like, the next panel he looks and, like, his skin is split all the way down his face and just sort of hang in there and his muscles exposed. He goes, learn your lesson, Black Hawk says. Now get to the sick bay or get to the medic so we can sew your face back on.
Well, he doesn't get a split face, but he does get a rap on the knuckles.
Yeah.
You got so cocksure when you found the first booby trap, you never dreamed there might be another one. Idiot. Well,
last but not least.
Andre, the Frenchman.
The Frenchman.
All right, Frenchie. Meet Mademoiselle X, a quote-unquote foreign spy. She's carrying a gun and a secret message, and she's sitting pretty at Le Café.
Oh, Le Café. Le Café. Le Sitting.
Ah.
Le Femme.
Bonjour. My lovely.
Pardon, mademoiselle, but did you perhaps drop the oof?
So he picked up a hanky that was on the ground and he gets a swift kick in the face from Mademoiselle X. Yes.
Ma foi, she was a tigress, this one. But that is the way Andre likes them. Ah, ma belle. Ooh, have we not met somewhere before? Paris, Rome, Venice, Istanbul.
I doubt it, lover man. He flips him. She doesn't even have to get out of her chair or uncross her legs. She flips him right down to the ground.
Knocks him on the ground, and as he's getting up, he thinks, sacre bleu, this is not going so well. The gun must be in the handbag. I will try a different approach.
Yeah, so the handbag is sitting on the cafe table behind her. He snatches it up.
Ah, very well, mademoiselle. Perhaps I have made the big mistake. My apologies. Now I have it. I have it. The gun and the letter are inside, no doubt. But as Andre opens the handbag, empty, ma foi, I am shot.
Yes, the handbag contains the gun, and he is shot in the chest. Ma foi, dunder, yumpin' yiminy. Has Blackhawk's rugged retraining routine really gotten out of hand? The amazing truth explodes right in your face in part two, which continues on the third page following.
You almost ran out of breath.
I know.
Well, part two of Junk Heap Heroes, part two, book two.
A shot echoes like a clap of doom on Black Hawk Island, and Andre, the laughing, devil-may-care Frenchman, lies inert on the ground. Oh. Is he dead? Was he killed in a training accident? The handbag is smoking, and Chuck opens it up to find the letter. which reads, Andre.
Go ahead.
Your phony great lover pose is antique, ancient history, and now so are you. Signed, Irene Vartanoff.
I wasn't expecting that.
Well, these boys aren't having it. They're going to mutiny. They're climbing up. They're climbing the walls to get to Blackhawk.
They're going
to
kill him. Well, they're going to beat the shell.
Well, they are, because they think he's killed Andre.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Maybe we bond washed up, but Pi Yimini better be has-beens than a rat like Blackhawk band become.
You do such a good...
Well, I can't do a Swedish accent or whatever the hell Olaf is. Swedes. So you clowns can't take... Well, you do know some Swedes, ABBA.
Oh, yes.
But they're not tall and acrobatic like Olaf is.
But they do have a cadence, too, the way that they talk. They just don't know how to do it. Right?
Yes.
I mean, when they...
You're the Swedish chef.
But there is... I mean, the only thing I know about the Swedish language is that there's a definite sort of rhythm to the way that they did. That's it. That's all I know.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando? You know, when I was in high school, I was a freshman in choir. And for our exam in choir, you had to sing a solo at the end of the semester. And I had never sung a solo before.
Mm-hmm.
But, except in my living room, I'd sung along to my K-Tel, The Magic of ABBA record.
Uh-huh.
So I chose for my solo, Fernando.
You did?
Sure.
I have
there was something in the air that night. The stars were bright, Fernando.
I have a similarly embarrassing story.
Yes?
I had to audition for show choir in high school.
Yes.
And which is funny because we didn't really dance. We just kind of sang popular music.
Okay. So it's pop choir.
Yes. And I the only song that I knew by, like, at that time that I could do really well was, is it called One Voice by Barry Manilow?
Yes.
So I went ahead and did that. And you know the part where it goes into the, where he's looping and singing himself? I just covered as many parts as I possibly could. Except in monody form. So, you know, it was like, silliness.
Did you get into show choir?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's the trouble? I did not get into show choir. I was forced to play piano for the show choir, and
I'm sorry. But you know, you made it up when we met.
We sure did.
In show choir, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, we did.
Yes, in community college.
Community college, you know,
I've never seen another community college that has a show choir in it.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Well, I was a frontline dancer. I'll have you know that.
There were only like 10 of us in the group.
Well, that means 5 were in the front line, and I was one of them, baby. Shit. I was the king of the world.
You were.
Well, Blackhawk's punching back. It's a terrific melee happening up there on the ledge with Oscar the Ant Robot until finally a machine gun blazes forth. It's Mademoiselle X.
Yeah, madam, she actually shoots the machine gun right in between.
Yeah, well, she's got to stop this fight somehow. Mademoiselle X, we learn now, is Lady Blackhawk.
Now, is this a thing? Because I don't remember a Lady Blackhawk.
Yes, if you recall the last issue.
Which I don't.
Lady Blackhawk had for many months been brainwashed into believing she was the evil Queen Killer Shark.
Oh, I do remember. Damn it.
And last
I do remember that.
issue, she got a rap on the head, which brought back her memory as Lady Blackhawk. Zinda Blake. She would later go on to have a terrific character arc in Birds of Prey, where she was portrayed as having been transplanted from the 1940s to the present day.
Oh, my God.
And she served as the pilot for Birds of Prey team.
Okay.
As written by the incomparable Gail Simone.
Okay.
Huh. Now nice. You know the rest of the story. So, Andre, it turns out, is fine. The handbag was only loaded with blanks. Well, honestly, at close range like that, you could be killed by a blank.
You could.
Which fires right into your chest from inches away. He passed out from the shock of the gun going off.
No, if you held a gun up to your head and it had a blank, you could suffer terminal damage.
Yeah.
But if you're holding a blank and it's in front of your chest but still within visual range, you're probably not going to be wounded.
You want to test it out?
No, no.
Could be arranged.
No.
Most of all, he passed out from the shock of realizing that the Blackhawks are really and truly washed up.
Yeah. I am too old a dog to learn new tricks.
Me too, Hendy. I'm just a big lummox.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't make sharp, super modern operators out of us, clowns. Blackhawk, you tried, but give it up.
Blackhawk says, you know something, meatheads? I almost said shitheads. You know something, meatheads? You're right. I just realized that I'm wasting my time. Your future's behind you. Come on, Zenda, baby. Let's get off this crummy island.
I'm with you, sweetie. What? What do you mean we're right? We can do it. I know we can do it. You can't run out on us now, right, guys?
All right, give us another chance.
Yeah. That's the old Blackhawk spirit. We'll start again, only it's going to be even tougher and rougher because time's running out.
Meanwhile, time is running out for Blackhawk in a way you never dreamed of, for at this moment, thousands of miles away in Europe, a fantastic gathering is taking place.
What a get-together. The top gangs from all over the world. Ogre, Spectre, Cyclops, Thrush. I can't remember where all these come from. Ogre, I think, is Aquaman. The organization... Yes. Organization for General Revenge and Evil. That's from Aquaman. Spectre is from James Bond.
Oh.
I don't know what that's doing there.
Okay.
Cyclops, we just saw in Metamorpho. I don't know what that stands for, and I don't know if Metamorpho does either. Thrush, I think, was Hawkman. Or did he fight Raven? I can't remember.
I don't know.
They've all been summoned by the Emperor, who's a gentleman dressed in Roman garb.
What's weird is that they've all been summoned. They're sitting in this Roman-style amphitheater, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For what is essentially a one-minute meeting.
Well, it's a pep rally.
Oh, is it a pep rally?
Isn't it? So these agents, Z-23 and Z-8.
And they've never been inside the secret headquarters. This is a big deal.
Right,
what really just annoyed me was the fact that they probably all gathered for the first time in their history for a minute, for a little bit of theater.
But look at these guys, they call it cornball. What a cornball setup. This underground villa is supposed to have belonged to Nero, but the Emperor has made some improvements, and don't forget, he's the smartest, toughest operator of them all. That's why he's top dog. And don't ever tangle with his gladiators, they're unbeatable. Cheese it. Here he comes.
Rise, you rabble. The Emperor approaches. Any attempt against his person will meet with instant destruction. Hail the Emperor.
Hail the Emperor.
Hail the Emperor. Hail the Emperor.
The Emperor has two leopards on chains.
Yes.
And a bald eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing a grim mask. And from behind the mask, a chilling voice rumbles.
Let me do his voice.
Okay.
They've called you here because a great crisis threatens the Empire of Evil. Of late, the agents of the world governments and police have destroyed much of our organization.
I've decided that he doesn't have a menacing voice at all. It's a high-pitched whine.
Yeah, it's like... the mask looks a lot like Charles Lawton.
Many of our agents have been captured or killed. Profits from our murder, smuggling, and extortion have fallen. For months we have not started a war, betrayed a country. This must cease. Therefore, I have decided that an object lesson must be given to those arrogant world governments. The complete and total destruction of a group of agents of theirs I have already selected the target group of so-called heroes, which shall be ruthlessly and utterly wiped out.
I've decided he's a bad actor.
The Blackhawks!
The Blackhawks. He lets a hawk out of a cage and sets his bald eagle upon it.
Yes, so why I say this is a bit of theater, because, I mean, if you were able to tolerate the imitation of his voice that I just did, while he's talking, he's thrown a stake to his cheetahs?
Leopards.
Leopards. And now released a hawk from a cage to be attacked by his eagles. It's all, it's literally a script he's following with a bit of theater.
Right? Yes. Don't worry, folks. The hawk is fine. We see it flying off in the next panel, but it is viciously attacked by the bald eagle.
Yes.
To ensure the speedy and total end of the Blackhawks, a killer squad of invincible gladiators will be assigned to the task.
And then he says, I've spoken, you are dismissed. Rise and salute.
Hail the Emperor!
Hail the Emperor!
That's it. Like, that's... They all came there for the first time ever to his underground kingdom palace for that.
Well, sure. What a show.
Wow.
I'm sure they got snacks or something.
Oh, do you think, what kind of snacks do you think he gave them?
Probably like zero sugar Gatorade and those pinwheel sandwiches from Costco, but he didn't thaw them enough.
Oh, yes. Yes. And no one's going to complain.
No.
No. No. What are those pinwheel sandwiches? Like those, oh, yeah, that's like cream cheese and carrots and vegetables and meat.
Yeah, yeah.
That's rolled into the pinwheel sandwiches. Uh-huh. Those are okay. I mean, if you're really, really hungry.
They're okay, but they're never thawed enough, no matter where you get them from. Yeah. But a short while later, Agent Z-23 is seen outside on the rocks above, presumably, the Mediterranean Ocean, because they're in Italy. And he takes his mask off and he thinks, must get a message back quickly. Who is it? They find him. Death to the betrayer. Z-23 scales an old aqueduct. He's being chased by gladiators.
Mm-hmm.
These gladiators do not wield short swords, as in ancient days, but rather electric ray beams of some kind. Z-23 makes it to the top of the aqueduct, but he is...
Killed.
He's
killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does a Wilhelm scream as he plummets off the aqueduct.
Mm-hmm. Dropping his letter.
Yes, he has a letter in his hands, which drops into the letter of the aqueduct.
Into the letter of the aqueduct?
The letter is dropped into the water of the aqueduct. Yes. Sorry. Sometime later at the American consulate, a peasant has found this letter, but he can't read English, so he brought it to the American consulate. You did well, senor. You deserve the reward I will now give you.
It's a good thing he brought it into the best, into trusted hands.
Yes. Yeah. Soon, in the secret headquarters of George, America's special group for extermination of organizations of revenge, greed, and evil.
I suppose that's what the Senate, when they vote on appropriations, that's what they're looking at the report and go, yeah, we're gonna go ahead with that planned $1.4 billion to the Group for Extermination of Organizations of Revenge, Greed, and Evil.
Well, that's how things used to work about a month ago.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Nowadays, yeah. There is no more appropriating for anything.
Yeah.
But I'll check my Signal app, see if there's any news coming out of Washington. Mr. Delta is on the phone. Very bad news. He's reporting to LBJ. One of our agents sent word at the cost of his life that the World Crime Gang is out to teach us an object lesson by destroying a group of operatives. And the target is the Blackhawks.
So,
what's
happening? The Blackhawks are being tested by the American government.
Yes.
To remain as a group.
Yes.
The Blackhawks are also being plotted against all the most evil, whatever, leader of evil people.
Yes.
To be destroyed. So, honestly, pulling back from the story, nothing's really changed. Except that LBJ says, if this were to happen...
Well, let me do LBJ's voice, because I think I got this one.
Okay, go ahead.
That is bad news. If it should happen, the forces of law and order everywhere would lose hope. Criminal groups would get a new lease on life. We must stop this. Too bad for the Blackhawks, but the only way is to quarantine them on Black Hawk Island and put a guard around them.
That's right.
So not long after, the only agents who could find Black Hawk Island arrive there and find...
It's deserted.
Deserted. No sign of the Blackhawks?
Nope.
They left some time ago, as we can see by the agent with a magnifying glass tracking their footprints. It's as if they just walked into the sea, never to be seen again.
Oh, no.
What's going to happen?
Let's get to book two, part three of Junk Heap Heroes.
Sure. One correction. Not only George has the resources to find Black Hawk Island, but also the Gladiators, killer agents of the World Crime Ring. So not long after the men from George depart, the Gladiators arrive on Black Hawk Island and also report back to the Emperor that it is abandoned and the Black Hawks are missing. What? Do the voice.
How did I do before?
What? The birds have flown. Find them. Seek them out. Destroy them! The penalty for failure is death!
Hail the Emperor!
While in Washington...
Delta to all agents, top priority, find the Blackhawks, find them and hide them, arrest them if necessary!
Now a fantastic double hunt begins for the missing Black Knights, pawns in an incredible chess game. Just where are the magnificent has-beens? Sometime later, a strange hovering craft flits through the night air over a familiar landmark.
The familiar landmark is the Colosseum in Rome. For some reason, Napoleon is standing in the foreground. Is that, I guess that's supposed to be an Italian police officer, but...
I thought they wore different helmets, different head coverings.
Yeah, I didn't think they wore Napoleonic hats and jackets with epaulets.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Now,
if that character was standing in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if he were wearing a Swiss Guard uniform.
Yeah. Now, of course, knowing our Roman history, of course, going back far enough, there would have been a Colosseum or some sort of structure like that in France. And there would have been more in present day France. Yes. But no,
this is clearly the Colosseum in Rome.
Yeah.
The flying saucer, there's a voice emanating from the flying saucer. The listener calling weapons master. The listener calling weapons master. CQ, come in weapons master.
Hello, weapons master. I have picked up certain coded orders. Be on guard. You are a target for somebody. Repeat, you are a target.
Sorry. Now, this gentleman, so the listener, it's time... Everyone, I know you've all been waiting for this moment. The listener in his flying saucer is wearing a pajama top with ears printed on.
Oh, I thought they were paisleys. I'm really pissed off.
My sweet summer child.
Those are ears.
Yeah, they are.
He's going, his code name is The Listener.
The Listener.
Oh my God.
I know you had no idea this was coming, Rob.
Those are ears.
Yeah.
God, I hate that rendition so much.
Why?
I mean, come on. That is so stupid. Please.
What? What's he supposed to wear? He's the listener.
Well, what if you were like you had a secret code name and it was the homemaker and you had... a shirt with whisks and a bowl and a spatula, and that was just printed all over the shirt.
Well, I'd probably go with something more like just cute little renderings of mid-century ranch homes printed all over. And in London, at a small gunsmith's shop, weapons master to listener... I read you loud and clear. Have no fear. In fact, I believe my visitors have already arrived. Thanks for the warning, listener. So in comes some gentleman into the gunsmith's shop.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for you, gentlemen?
What can you do? Well, this is London, right?
Yes.
What can you do, old fool? You can stand very quietly while I kill you with your own weapon.
What? What? What is this?
It's horrible. It is your finish. I gas, cough, choke.
Yes, gas a trick. Overcomes the three interlopers. It's a trick. Yes, gentlemen, a little joke, courtesy of the Weapons Master.
1,000 toots silently.
Weapons Master disappears behind a trick wall.
Mm.
The crooks blast it and find behind the wall a room filled with amazing weapons. And the Weapons Master himself standing in front of a giant bullseye. I wonder how that's going to work out. Well, these gentlemen, we now learn, are gladiators. They pull out their electric zap swords, and the target that the Weapons Master is standing in front of suddenly starts throwing rings.
Isn't this interesting? I don't recall having seen something like this before. There is a ring object.
Yes.
Which is a weapon that the Weapons Master is throwing at the gladiators.
Yes.
That goes into four different panels. It overlaps four different panels. Isn't that interesting?
I'll say. Yeah. The ring absorbs the shock blasts from the zap swords and also encircles the crooks, trapping them in their own energy blasts.
Mm.
Good enough for them. They pursue death so hotly that it is finally caught up to them. This energy sword is an interesting gadget. I will add it to my own collection, but first I must contact the listener.
Again, through a cunning secret electronic hookup triggered by a coded dialing system.
It's Hendrickson.
Yes.
He pulls his mask off. He's locked up der shop for der night. No more need of dysphony makeup. And now I can speak in my characteristic German way or Dutch, whatever I am. Hello, listener. Ring, ring, ring. This is Weapons Master. What's this? Weapons Master is really Hendrickson? You haven't seen anything yet, listener. For at this moment, many miles across the continent. Hello, Hendy.
Why don't they keep up their code names?
I don't know.
What if they're being listened to? That would be, someone would know from this one conversation that Hendy is a listener.
Well, because as we learn, they're
Weapons Master.
They're on ultra radial frequency. Nobody can eavesdrop. You can drop the fancy lingo and speak in your characteristic foreign way.
Oh, Donda, what a lady. You're right. My visitors were unfriendly.
Yeah, unfriendly fellas mit energy vans and crazy Roman get-ups under their clothes. I don't dig.
Wait, that's...
That's Schwarzenegger. I don't dig.
Listener doesn't dig either. So he's going to check in with Big Eye. We see now the listener is Chuck.
Oh, my God.
The listener is really Chuck?
Chuck, yeah.
Now who in blazes is Big Eye? Stand by as from the amazing hovercraft, a message flashes to an even more amazing vehicle 50 miles in the sky. Yes, it's a giant ship shaped as a black hawk
with two heads.
With two heads, the classic symbol of Imperial Germany. Listener calling Big Eye. Listener calling Big Eye. CQ, CQ, come in, Big Eye.
Well,
who could Big Eye be? Let's turn the page, find out. Oh, Big Eye is Blackhawk.
Oh, Blackhawk. I just assumed because he was flying in a giant, he was inside of a giant craft shaped like a two-headed hawk.
Well, who's the other head?
Oh, who knows?
Can
we just pause for a second?
Yes.
Where did the guys get the money to disappear from the government, create up a secret network, set up different... what am I looking for? Different covers. Like setting up a shop. Hendy set up a shop.
Yeah.
They're flying in new... craft.
Yeah.
Where did they get the money for that? They were literally just like minutes ago we were reading, they were fighting for the possibility to continue as Blackhawks. And now they're in a completely different setup, spread across the world in new vehicles. Who funds this?
Well, they're Bitcoin investors.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Obviously, So, Blackhawk learns now the Hendy was almost knocked off by three weirdos wearing gladiator outfits under their civilian clothes. He realizes they are being hunted by the Emperor. So now you know that Big Eye is none other than Blackhawk himself. We must warn the others, Andre, Stan, and Chop Chop, but no Wolf. But that's a big order. We learn from Chuck, because since we all split up to adopt new identities and ways of operating, only you, Hendy, and I have been in contact with each other.
So they did split up, created new identities, but they don't know where they're all located.
Right. We must find them, warn them. For some reason, the World Crime Combo is out to knock off the Blackhawks before we get a chance to rebuild ourselves. Get cracking, genius. Take off that shirt, that ear shirt.
The ear shirt. Now the fantastic international hunt for the missing Blackhawks becomes even more tense.
What? Three of my gladiators dead? These Blackhawks are formidable. All the more reason they must be destroyed. All action units, total mobilization. I command it,
says the Emperor.
Yes. Now, we flash to two Emperor agents, gladiators, who are disguised as Killarney Tinkers. Now, you may not know, listener, Tinker is a somewhat derogatory term for the...
traveling repairman. He may also have some goods in his cart that he's procured and he sells at retail to people, but mostly he goes around and does repairs.
No.
No?
It's more akin to what we would call gypsies in olden days, homeless people who travel around in carts.
No.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I don't.
I've read about tinkers. Now, tinkers, I mean...
As have I.
Yes, but he's got... it says Killarney Tinkers, and he's got things on the side. He actually does business in his cart. He's not some sort of... Yes, he might travel around like the Romani people, but he actually has wares to offer. He has like things that housewives need, like new pans, new pots, possibly silverware, things like that.
Well, that's not how the term is used in modern day Ireland.
Oh, okay. Just some in all the research that I've done about tinkers and read about tinkers in Ireland, so it's okay.
Okay, well,
agree to disagree.
Okay. The point is, they wouldn't have a giant cart painted with the word tinkers on it.
Probably not, yes.
That's what I was getting at.
Okay, all right, agree to agree.
Well, Chuck's made his way from Rome to Paris. He's checking...
He's in a flying saucer.
In a flying saucer, yes.
Good.
He's checking all the leads, but he can't find anything.
I know this is before Happy Days, but I just have to say, I'm just going to say it. They are jumping the shark here to save this story, to save this comic. They're in a flying saucer, and they've gone from Black Hawk headquarters to adopting secret identities, roaming around like gypsies, wearing ear pajamas, and one's in a flying saucer, one's in a two-headed hawk craft.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. One of them set up his own weapon shop in London.
Yeah.
And he wears a rubberized mask over his to conceal his identity.
Meanwhile, in a Swedish city, you want an acrobat job, my large friend? Sure, if you can sing and play, that's the only kind of act that clicks these days.
No.
Oh, how did we miss them forming a rock band?
Oh my God, like Josie and the Pussycats?
Yes, or the Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Oh, yes.
Or Archie. Oh God, what a missed opportunity.
Absolutely. I would have loved that.
Well, unfortunately, Olaf doesn't sing, unlike literally every other Swedish person alive on the earth. Shortly, he's lonely wandering the docks, and some gladiators find him.
Because everybody else has found something to do.
Yes.
Right? He has nothing to do. He has only one talent.
There he is. The one called Olaf. It will be so easy to make an end of him. Come.
But we are not going to make an end here. We can't, because the blazing new Black Hawks era is only beginning.
So, be around for the very next issue when Book 3 of the Junk Heap Heroes makes comics history. See you then. The end.
The end. Amazing, huh?
You have no idea what's coming next.
No, I don't. Is it madness?
It is.
Cool.
And I'm not even about to tell you what's
happening. Don't. I'm actually a little bit excited.
You should be, my friend. You should be. Anything else?
No, I'm just glad to be home.
Same, girl.
I mean, I had a wonderful time, but it's always great to return home.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts from. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra. And you can find us right back here next week.
Indeed.
With what? The end of Zatanna's quest.
No.
Yes, wow. Queen.
Yes.
Or should I say, for Zatanna, see you. That's yes backwards. Bye!
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
In the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone, come on.
Guide us.
When you're beside me, we can